I'm a substitute for another guy. I look pretty tall, but my heels are high. Yes, I'm Paul McInnes, and this is Music Weekly. On this week's show, we'll be casting a reflective eye over the work of 808 State. We'll have new music from Summer Camp, Francois and the Atlas Mountains, and Them Crooked Vultures. We'll have a distilled, triple-filtered shot of your face back. But first, it's time for a very specials guest, and that's Linville Golding.
Stop your messing around. Better think of your future. Time you straighten right out. Creating problems in town. Rudy, a message to you, Rudy. A message to you.
That was the sound of the Specials with a message to you, Rudy. 2009 has brought the Specials and Linville Golding back into the spotlight with a hugely successful comeback tour, followed by a number of retrospectives on the influence of Two Tone. I'm joined here by Rosie Swash. Hi there, how are you?
I'm very well, how are you?
Well, probably 7.5 out of 10. Wouldn't go any higher than that. 7.75. All right. But anyway, I saw the group, I saw the Specials pick up a gong at the Q Awards this week. They even got their own incoherent tribute from Amy Winehouse. She missed her award. She was supposed to give it. She was someplace else. Turned up 5 minutes late and still insisted on giving a speech, which shows how much the Specials mean to her. But it's not just our favourite warbler who's been influenced by the Specials, no.
The reason that they were so special in the first place, because they occupied a place in people's hearts at a time when no one else seemed to be sort of singing about, or making music about the fact that the country was at such a low ebb politically and socially. And theirs was a hugely positive sound. It felt like it came out of nowhere. And suddenly there was a voice to what people were feeling.
So you met Linville this week.
I did indeed. The band are, the Specials are about to continue their UK tour, which wraps up in November. And Linville is also part of PAMO International, who are the band that have been supporting the Specials. So he plays double the amount of time that everyone else does every night. And we, you know, we've had people of stature on our show before, and we thought that this time we would do something a little bit different with him. So we asked him to bring in 5 records. That had influenced him over his life, so we could talk about that and the influence it's had on the Specials. And so we're going to start off by listening to Get Up, Stand Up by Bob Marley. I think it's a track we all know, and we're going to hear from Linville why this is so special to him.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Now I have to ask, of all the Bob Marley songs, why this one? What's it about this one?
At the time when that record was released, I was living in Gloucester. There was racism, was rampant at the time, you know? And I think what he said in that song, you know, it wasn't just about black or white, but everyone should get up and stand up for their own, for their rights.
Is that why he, of all the artists to come out of Jamaica, is still widely regarded as, you know, the best reggae artist of all time?
Yeah, because I think if you look at, like, the religious side of it, right, you know, the Rasta side of it, not saying we're confused, but, you know, as a Jamaican, you know, what can we, how can we identify? And I think he brought that to us to identify with the Rasta faith and togetherness, and it wasn't just a black issue, it was everyone to, you know, to come together, you know.
So let's talk about your second track on the list, mm-hmm. which is Curtis Mayfield, People there Get Ready. No, I what influence would you say that this song has had on the music?
I think, again, as a writer, if you notice, right, he was a big influence on Bob Marley as a writer. So obviously we go in search to see where all these influences come from. And Curtis, just I met him many years ago. We played in Glastonbury Festival with him, and he was such a lovely man. I just thought his music and everything is still such a strong, just, you know, just absolutely wonderful. And I, and as a writer, you got to look to the best. If you need influence, go to the best. You can't get any better than that.
So people get ready. There's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. I say you just thank the Lord. You just thank the Lord. That's why I'm
so many people have covered People Get Ready in particular. I'm sure for its message, if nothing else. Did the Specials ever do it? Ever think of doing it in their own?
It's something I have to think about because, you know, well, you know that, you know, we like cover songs and and we're a very, very slow band in the fact that it took us 25 years to get back together.
Yeah.
Every other band sort of go for a little break and have the summer off, you know, we decide to have 25 years off.
Used to play Monkey Man, that was a big Specials cover.
Yeah, and that was written by Toots.
Because your version, if you listen to it on the record version, I think it's Neville Staples says at the beginning, this is for all the bouncers.
Yes, yeah.
So what was your what was the Specials take on that song?
We always have problem with bouncers, security guys, because you know, you'll seem like a big old Monkey Man. They're like, ooh, all of them get into a fight with Neville because he doesn't like to see security guys take advantage of the audience. He goes mad when he goes straight in and then he gets beat up himself, you know. So
what was the music that you liked that you brought to the Specials as an influence, do you think? Or was it more a case of you guys getting together and all having a real common love of the same kind of music?
Well, you know, there's seven individuals that made up this band. Obviously I was born in Jamaica, so obviously I brought the reggae, the ska. I brought the ones on A Message to You, which, you know, to me it was about the rude boys in Jamaica, you know. Horace, you know, the bass player, each one of us, Roddy, come from a sort of a punk background, and, you know, we're all different musicians who come from different, Brad, love Northern Soul. So when you put all that together and stir it around, you know, we end up with Two Tone.
That seems like a very good point to go to number three. Your third choice is Burning Spear, Marcus Garvey.
Marcus Garvey words come to pass. Marcus Garvey words come to pass. Can't get no food to eat. Can't get no money to spend.
Marcus Garvey is just like everywhere in Jamaican culture, like still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was it about him? Was this song your first introduction to him, or was it just constantly?
It's history that we were never taught at school, you know? When these writers, you know, go and do their research and introduce to you a topic and you go and research it, you know, you think, wow, what he'd done at the time, I think was, that's why it still lived down to it, because it's still influencing people. Well, look what Marcus did, and you open up our eyes, you know?
Song on the list is Let's Get It On, Marvin Gaye.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is a bit of a departure for the themes of the songs on your list, because although Marvin Gaye was obviously a very political artist, this is his slow jam. This is the slow jam.
Yeah.
Is that why he went off-piste?
It's the guitar. It's the sound of that guitar. I just thought, that just blew me away. That's very, very simple. Those notes on that guitar blew my mind.
And with Marvin Gaye, are you a fan more of this period of his work and maybe the political stuff?
Oh, obviously the political stuff, you know? And especially when he introduced like that more politically aware music and Motown. Because obviously I grew up with Motown music, you know? That's great dance music, you know? I think Marvin probably was the first one to break Tamla Motown rules and throw in political songs in there, you know?
I love you. There's nothing wrong with me loving you, baby, no, no. And giving yourself to me can never be wrong.
it's odd that the timing of your the big reunion, the big specials reunion, mm-hmm. has come at a point when we're also seeing globally economic downturn. And in the UK, I'm sure that you've seen in the last couple of weeks the supposedly the BNP are on the rise, and it kind of appears to reflect what was happening when the specials were at their.
It's true, because, like, you know, that 1979, we went out and we played a Rock Against Racism concert. That's what it was called, Rock Against Racism. 2009, here we are again, right? The party that's trying to influence the minority, because of the majority, the minority, right? Call himself the British National Party. With the same slogans as what the National Front did before. And we got on the stage and we sang about it. We showed unity. We showed togetherness. We're one of the first multiracial band on the stage to talk about this problem. It was difficult at the time because, you know, we go up north, sometimes it was really, really heavy. But we...
It wasn't always well received.
No, because I'm a multiracial band, you know. I mean, you see the way me and Neville jump around on stage, you know, there's reasons. Dodging things thrown at you on the stage, you know? So it becomes part of the act, you know?
You just make it look cool.
Yeah. We shouldn't have to go on the stage and sing "It Doesn't Make It All Right Now," because it's 30 years later. We should have moved on.
Mm.
But unfortunately, we have to go back and we should have moved on from then, you know?
Well, let's use that opportunity to talk about PAMA International.
PAMA International, you know, my little band that I've been with the last... sometimes, you know, it's really weird because sometimes it's like my side project is a special, my main project... It's PAMA. Then it switches around from time to time, you know?
So we're going to play PAMA International, Equality and Justice for All.
Yeah. Yeah, Sean.
Longer than the specials ever were.
Yes, yeah. In a way. Me, Sean, and Finney, we've known each other 16 years now.
Are you continuing this? I mean, obviously, the title of the song speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Is the idea to carry on the message of unity and positivity?
Equality and Justice for All is exactly where I'm coming from. It's a kind of song, if the special was recording today, that's the sort of music. That's where I'm coming from. So I'll be always involved with music that says something, you know?
So that was Linville Golding of The Specials telling us about the records that have shaped The Specials. We've decided that our chat with Linville is worth taking time over. So we're going to come back to it later in the show, if that's all right with you, Paul.
It most certainly is. First, though, we're going to perform an act of no-holds-barred reviewing, a bare-knuckle critical showdown, a verbal dogfight over the latest new disco. That means it is time for Singles Club, and joining us this week is Observer Music Monthly's Sarah Bowden, who has been in training for the past 6 months. I thought it was for this event, but it wasn't. You've just run a marathon.
I've run a marathon in Dublin. I'm walking a bit like John Wayne today. So I'm very, very sorry.
Usually the phrase "you're walking like John Wayne" suggests something else, but anyway, we'll pass smoothly over that. And we'll start with the music. We're going to have a band now called Summer Camp, and this is Ghost Train. That's Ghost Train by Summer Camp. Summer Camp is an American institution where children get sent into the countryside for weeks so that their parents can go on drug-fueled benders. It's also the name for this Swedish seven-piece lo-fi pop band. In fact, to make matters worse, Summer Camp is also the name of a Californian indie four-piece. Fortunately, this Summer Camp broke up in 2000 and therefore everybody's forgotten completely about them. Rosie Swash.
Yes.
Your choice.
I was twittering Tim Jones of music.
Why didn't you speak to him?
Music website.
Why didn't you speak
He
to
wasn't
him?
In the office at the time.
Oh, I see.
And I said, oh, you know, there's a really good review of Washed Out, who is new favourite band. The New York Times had done this review. And someone that saw that Twitter got in touch with me and said, if you like Washed Out, you might like this. I don't actually think that it's that similar, but I do like it.
And so they are MySpace friends, I've noticed.
Yes, and so thank you, Laura Snaites, for that. I love the girlishness of the vocals. It kind of reminds me a bit of Au Revoir Simone, who we've talked about on the pod before, and Nightjewel, who we've had on the pod as well. It's got a kind of girlishness that's also got a bit of an edge, which I think is quite important if you're gonna lay it on thick. I think the way she twirls the chorus bit there stands out perfectly. I like also that it captures exactly what you think of when you think of summer camp, which is adolescence and emotions running high. And everyone remembers that period of their life so distinctly. And at the beginning of this song, there's a tiny snippet of dialogue, which is from the film Heathers.
Ah.
Which I think also speaks volumes because, you know, Heathers is about that time. It's about how important high school feels, or secondary school if you're from the UK at the time, and how little you could care about it when you've left.
One thing I'd like to ask you about there is when you talk about the edge, because it was a bit too sweet for me, this song. And I couldn't find the edge in it. And I certainly couldn't find the ghost traininess in it. Where would you say it lies?
Well, see, don't you think the ghost train bit is another just a bit snippet of imagery?
Of nostalgia.
Of nostalgia from the...
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it certainly codes some things. I mean, it can certainly code, suggest some things in your head. But I'm not sure it's backed up by the music.
Oh, really? You think it's too sugary?
Yeah, sugary. I mean, you know, what I found, because I've written down here Au Revoir Simone, Nightjewel, and those dancing days, which are another kind of Scandinavian girl group we mentioned once or twice in the past. But what I find with particularly good Au Revoir Simone, but Nightjewel especially, is there is an abiding sense of melody to it. And you know, then we've talked a lot about the kind of the production qualities that make it slightly turn it slightly askew from the norm. I couldn't find any of this. It seems to me to be straight down the line, and I couldn't find anything untoward about it. So could you?
No, I found it. It was a bit hello clouds, hello sky for me. It was a bit too fey. And I'm generally not that keen on the sort of the sweet side of Swedish indie pop. It sounds to me, and this sort of speaks volumes about the way that indie music's being co-opted by telly sort of Hollywood programmers and telly programs, but it wouldn't sound out of place like popping up Soundtracking the Hills or something, some emotional moment.
Okay, well, that is Ghost Train by Summer Camp, dividing opinions, but it's streaming on MySpace right now, so you can listen to it. Slightly unusual URL, isn't it?
What is MySpace.com, Morgan Waves.
Morgan Waves. So type that in, find them there. Next on Singles Club, it's Francois and the Atlas Mountains with Be Water, or Je Suis de l'eau. That's Be Water by Francois and the Atlas Mountains. To explain, Francois is Francois-Marie, a Frenchman who relocated to Bristol some years ago to make music. The Atlas Mountains, meanwhile, are a mountain range in Morocco where a lot of Frenchmen go on holiday to buy hash. It's true, I'm not making up a word of it. Francois is known not only for his music, but the illustrations and films he makes to go with them, all of which serves to make Francois the most multi-talented Bristolian since Justin Lee Collins. It's probably another fact there for you. Sarah, your choice, you like this song?
I like this song. Over on the Music Monthly desk, we've been vigorously debating the best albums of the last decade, and so I've been listening to loads of sort of mockney pop and sort of quite laddish guitar-y rock, and I just stuck this on and it was really elegant and I just sort of caught my ear. I really, really enjoy it. It says on the press release that he's influenced by the sort of 70s music, African music, such as the Ethiopiques compilations, and you can really hear that in the track, I think, and it's combined with a, it's got a nice sort of Gaelic 60s pop croon to it that I enjoyed. Yeah. The rest of the album's really good as well. A lot of the songs are sung in English.
So monoglots need not fear. They can, yes, tune in and still get something out of it. Now, this is something for me which I could have imagined on television as well, to be honest. It's like one of those mobile phone ads where, you know, everybody starts texting each other and they end up building a huge dinosaur out of lollipop sticks or something at the end of it. But I do think it's a bit more, I think it's got that edge. It's got a bit of richness about it, which I really like. I think the real texture to the song, particularly in the percussion and the guitar work, and I think that really carries the number along. Rosie, did it carry you?
It did. I think the word that sprung to mind is buoyancy. Mm. It does. It sounds, you know, watery in that regard, not in the sense that watery is a put down, but you know, it sounds like what it's about, which is and it's great. It's really hard not to get swept up in, not, pun not intended. But I have to say. So I listened to this, quite liked it, listened to the rest of the album. The rest of the album is amazing. It's so nice. This is actually my least favourite on the whole one, so thank you for introducing it to me.
It's, what's really struck me about this is that he's been ploughing away in obscurity for so long. This is like his fifth solo album.
Yeah, I don't know anything about him. It's the first that I've heard of him.
Yeah, and it's just when, you know, we're so accustomed to kind of bands forming 6 weeks later, getting a record deal, yeah, 18 months after that being completely over and bust. It's kind of great to stumble across something that's been a long time in the gestation. Okay, well, that's Francois and the Atlas Mountains and his fifth album, Plain Inondable. I think that means like heavy rain or something like that. Or
something to do with burst water planes or something.
Something to do with burst water planes. Well, that'll do. That's certainly as close as we're likely to get right now.
Flooded planes, I think that's what it was.
Oh, right. Okay, so maybe flood planes, maybe. Mm. And that's available now. Final track on Singles Club is New Fang by Them Crooked Vultures. That's Them Crooked Vultures and New Fang. Them Crooked Vultures are a supergroup. The lineup is John Paul Jones on bass, Dave Grohl on drums, and Josh Om on vocals. This is the first full-length track from the band, but they have been playing surprise festival dates throughout the summer. That said, if you consider the state most festival audiences are in, their capability for surprise might well be somewhat diminished. I have picked this partly because I just like the concept of supergroups. We had one last week in Monsters of Folk. These lot are obviously monsters of rock, and it seems like they've gone for a classic rock sound, reminiscent of or aspiring towards John Paul Jones's original band Led Zeppelin. I have a soft spot for Josh Homme, though. I like Queens of the Stone Age and Eagles of Death Metal, though I often have trouble distinguishing between their music and working out what makes one project distinct from another. You could probably say the same thing about this one, really. Although, like I say, the kind of the rhythm and some of the riffs kind of are more redolent of that classic age of rock. And there's a looseness about it too. Queens of the Stone Age, always pretty driven, pretty tight. This one's a bit baggier, a bit funkier, with parts coming in and out. And that may be something to do with the status of the members, everybody getting their own turn at it. It's also got a naggingly good hook, which is probably the final reason. That's another quintessentially Josh Om trick, but that's probably the final thing that made me choose it this week. Rosie?
I think that it's funny you should say it being looser and baggier, because I feel like the groove here keeps getting lost, and that it could actually be, they should really bring that to the forefront, because otherwise what it sounds like to me is just like the manliest thing ever. Just like man, man, man on record. Man, man, man. Macho, macho, man, man, man. And it's a bit too much for me, really.
Yeah.
But, you know, considering the bassist is from Led Zeppelin, they need to bring that out a bit more, in my opinion, and give that a bit more prominence to this track, because I think the groove gets lost.
What I love about Josh Homme is that he makes grown-up rock, and I don't mean that in a disparaging way. It's just that he can make stuff that's really heavy, but not in a meat-heady sort of way. You know, it has this underlying intelligence to it, and there's always, it's got interesting sort of sounds there and rhythms, and all. I think it's fantastic. I really love it.
You love this record?
Yeah, and they're supposed to be absolutely amazing live, because they supported the Arctic Monkeys at Brixton Academy last month, I think, and some people say that they blew the monkeys off stage.
Blew the monkeys off stage. Well, in my experience, that's not that difficult thing to do. But anyway, all right, that's great. That means that if we were to have a vote this week, which we don't because we're a very kind of non-judgmental, non-competitive grouping, I would win.
Yeah, all right. Sarah would win.
Okay, maybe I come second.
Okay.
Thanks. All right, well, that's Newfound by Them Crooked Vultures, and it's streaming now on themcrookedvultures.com. From the blog on last week's tracks, got SV80 on Lady Gaga. He or she says, Paul is correct in saying that Bad Romance does sound very Europop, particularly at the start. Rosie and Alex are correct, however, in saying that she's amazeballs. It's not her finest work, but it'll do until the next album proper comes along.
Invisible Paris said of Monsters of Folk, surely if you're going to do a song called Dear God, you have to be Andy Partridge. And that is the old Ecstasy song that caused huge controversy in the States because it was saying that God was a bit rubbish. That's us talking there. That's not the comment. End bracket. That said, the music and singing were very nice.
Okay, we want your reviews of this week's tracks from Then Crooked Vultures, Francois and the Atlas Mountains and Summer Camp on the blog at guardian.co.uk/musicweekly. Tell us what you think of it all and these other tracks that are out to buy now.
Now internet, my darling dreamer, she disappears into the sea.
Horrors, Whole New Way.
To have a
goes to Hollywood. Relax.
When you want to step into it, relax, don't do it. When you want to come.
I was not born in water. I was not born in pain or poverty.
Jarvis Cocker, further complicating.
The need an affliction to cultivate a personality. I need some.
I need
I need you.
Black shirt, bare carrots on my wrist. Me and a couple men rolling up in a whip. Met a pretty young lady, should I say?
Will I ever see you again?
Always looking for another man's riches.
Why do you do this to us, man? And that's why we cool.
That is it for Singles Club today. Thank you, Sarah Bowden, for limping in to join us.
It's no problem.
I appreciate it a lot. I like the fact you've got your marathon medal in your back pocket. I think that's a cool thing. Congratulations on that achievement. How long will it stay in your pocket for?
I think I'll probably, this is the, yeah, I'll stay in my pocket for today and then I'll put it in a box and never look at it again.
That's so cool. Just moving on to the next challenge. Thanks again, Sarah. Good to see you. Okay, time for the second part of our special interview with Linval Golding. And I hand over now to my colleague, Rosie Swash.
Well, earlier on, Linval gave us his top five tracks and he spoke about some of his influences. So now we're going to concentrate on the Specials reunion and how it all came about. I was interested to know when the tour finishes in November, were there any plans to record any new material?
We've got no plans right now. It's like the tour, you know, we just did our first tour. We said nothing before we did the tour because we had nothing to talk about. Now we've done the tour, we can say, wow, what a wonderful experience we've had. You know, the first night in Newcastle was amazing. I thought, oh my, it's like people waited 20 odd years and it was like, oh my God, it was incredible. Now we can talk about that. Who knows, this year tour might put us to bed. Probably the next time you see us, we're probably in our Zimmer frame, you know? I guess we'd take that long to do anything, you know?
This time is coming like a ghost town. All the clubs have been closed down. This place.
You've had such a great reaction, such a great response for the comeback. And, you know, I mean, yeah, earlier this week, you won the Q Award for Lifetime Achievement, so people obviously still feel to have you back. Is it nice to have this point, you know, have the Specials come back and really be welcomed when, because actually you guys split up very soon.
Yeah.
After your
We did a crazy thing, like, which works. We broke up after we had our biggest record, Ghost Town, at number one. And everybody says, you guys are nuts.
Yeah.
But I think we did the right thing at the right time.
Why?
Because we wouldn't have been able to come back and have the impact we have today, because there was, you know, things have changed. Now, 2009, we needed to come back. So it worked perfect for you. The other thing which I thought was, which was very, very nice to talk about the queue, it was lovely to meet it with other artists that we've influenced, that I've got, that are great British artists, like, you know, Amy Winehouse, what a talent. Lily, fantastic girl. She's, I love her to bits. She's just absolutely wonderful. To meet up with those young artists now, you know, it was an amazing night, because, like, you think, well, you know, we're like their fathers, you know? And it's wonderful to think, well, I can walk away feeling proud that, you know, we brought the kids up properly, you know? And they've done well for us, you know? It's a beautiful feeling.
You're working at your leisure.
Glastonbury 2007, was it, when you played, and Terry Hall as well,
yes, yeah,
with Lily Allen,
yes,
and that was,
yeah,
like, oh, you know, big sort of surprise guests.
Mm-hmm.
Was that when you and Terry started to talk about the reunion, the comeback?
I met Lily in Seattle, and she had no idea, because nobody knew where I just disappeared, you know. My other half, she wrote to, on her MySpace, like, you know, I live in Seattle, and she knew that she was a big Special fan, you know, and she said, well, I'm married to him and he'll come down and play a song with you. And she just didn't believe it, you know. So I said, all right, then, I'll turn up with my guitar. Oh my God, I said, right. The song that it did was Blank Expression. So I went and stayed at the Showbox in Seattle and played Blank Expression with her. And from then, we become friends. And the next, she said to me, would it be possible to get Terry to come and guest with me at Glastonbury? I said, leave it up to me, I'll try. And I would work very, very hard to get him. And I did. And nobody knew nothing at all until you walked on the stage. I've gone, oh my God, it's Terry Hall.
Because you guys used to cover, yeah, the bands that inspired you.
Yes.
And now it's,
and it's really nice to think, well, it's a lovely feeling.
And so while you know, Power International's ongoing, but for the moment, you're about to hit the road again.
Yes, we started on the last half of the Special tour, which start in Liverpool, I think. And we end up in at the end of November at Hammersmith.
Yeah.
And Palmer is our opening band. So,
and people are saying,
"What are you going to do? Where are you going to hear it from? What are you going to do it?" I've got no idea.
Okay, that was Linval Golding, the legend, and the Specials tour continues throughout November. Good luck with finding tickets for that one. Those who listened to our Warp Records special a few weeks back will know that Luke Bainbridge is a man who knows his old school dance music. So when we asked him for a feature with no name, he said, top one, nice one, get sorted, and gave us this about iconic Mancunian's 808 State.
808 State were formed in late 80s Manchester by Martin Price, Gerald Simpson and Graham Massey. Price was the owner of the hugely influential Eastern Bloc record shop, one of the first record shops in the UK to start importing and selling the early acid house music of Chicago and techno of Detroit. He was also founder of independent record label Creed. Massey had previously been in several bands, most notably the new wave group Biting Tongues, who was signed to Factory Records, while Gerald Simpson was a young Eastern Bloc customer. Initially more of an avant-garde electronic outfit, going under the name of Hit Squad Manchester, they soon changed their name to 808 State after the Roland TR-808 drum machine and the 808 State of Mind shared by the members. Their debut album, New Build, a raw but truly pioneering acid house album, was released on Price's Creed Records in 1988. Talking to the Observer Music Monthly for a piece on the 20th anniversary of Acid House last year, Massey explained what he found really exciting about this period was when the music sounded like it was being made by machines rather than by people. Gerald Simpson left 88 State the following year to pursue a solo career as a guy called Gerald, scoring a hit with the track Voodoo Ray, which was the soundtrack to 1989 in Manchester. He would later go on to be one of the pioneers of drum and bass in the early to mid-90s, not least with the classic album Black Secret Technology, arguably more important and influential than Gold is Timeless, which was released 6 months later. After the departure of Simpson, Price and Massey recruited Manchester DJs Andrew Barker and Darren Partington, aka DJing duo The Spin Masters, and the band released their second album, Quadrastate. As Acid House exploded across Manchester and the UK, the band were perfectly positioned as the country's first real Acid House group. Then came the top 10 hit Pacific State, which saw the group perform on Top of the Pops. Pacific State and the accompanying album 90 captured the zeitgeist perfectly as 1989 drew to a close. Their next album, Excel, included collaborations with guest vocalists New Order's Bernard Sumner and the Sugar Cube's Bjork, who was about to launch a solo career. The album's success was celebrated with a huge homecoming gig at Manchester's G-Mix. Following the success of Excel, Martin Price decided to leave the group to pursue other music avenues, including releasing material under the name Switzerland and producing Rochdale rappers The Khalif. Massey, Partington and Barker continued as a three-piece, releasing fifth album Gorgeous in 1994, which included a remake of the UB40 track 1 in 10. They then took a break before returning in 1996 with their sixth album, Don Solaris, which featured guest vocalist James Dean Bradfield of Manic Street Preachers, Louise Rhodes of Lamb, and Michael Dougherty of Soul Coughing. In the late 90s, Massey went on to create Toolshed, an avant-garde, jazz-tinged, post-new wave, post-acid house collective, including like-minded Manchester musicians like Paddy Steer from Home Life and James Ford of Simeon, who went on to produce the Arctic Monkeys and the Claxons. These days, Massey has a new band, Sister of Transistors, which is himself and four female keyboard players who refer to themselves as the UK's premier combo organ quartet and ladies' social club. Their debut album, At the Ferranti Institute, is released on the 9th of November. As for 808 State, and the members continue to do remix and production work for other artists, and according to their official website, the group are currently looking for a recording contract. They remain hugely influential to the next generation of electronic musicians, and despite being the soundtrack to the halcyon days of the late 80s and early 90s, most of their material still sounds remarkably fresh and still as innovative today.
That was Luke Bainbridge on 808 State, and the feature with no name will be back next week. That's just about it for this show. We've got a little bit of time to give some more feedback from you. Esther Freeman on Facebook wrote, "I just wanted to say that I've signed up to the podcast and I'm really enjoying them. I listen to them every Saturday morning while I clean the house. They bring me a little bit of joy while I scrub the toilet."
I also clean the house on Saturday, but I don't listen to my own voice.
While shoving your head down the toilet.
That would be too much to bear.
I'm not sure whether that is a compliment or not. Mm. She does put a little smiley face at the end of it, though, which makes me think it might be. Yeah. Rosie?
Extraordinary Vamp said, "Very much enjoyed this week's feature with no name. Cheers. Speaking of said feature, I have to thank you for a piece on Os Mutantes from a few weeks ago. Previous to hearing it, I had never heard any of their music, but since, having listened to all of their records and, best of all, having seen them live a few weeks ago, I can say that they are now one of my favourite bands. So yeah, thank you. You are amazeballs."
Amazeballs. It's the new word on the tip of everyone's tongue. Finally, in terms of feedback, we got a question for producer Pete here. Residential asks, does anyone know the name of the song / artist for the intro music to the Music Weekly podcast? Which I suspect is by a famous band called Generic. I don't know. We're going to get Pete to look into that and we'll give you an answer back on the blog. All right, that is it for this week's show, I'm afraid. Post your comments on our big interview with Linville Golding and all the singles on our blog at guardian.co.uk/musicweekly or on our Facebook page, type Music Weekly, to become a fan therein. Rosie Swash, it's been a real pleasure to work with you this week.
Even though you're only feeling 7.5?
Yeah, I've gone up to an 8 now, after an hour in your company. Right, we'll see you next Friday. Until then, have a lovely time. Bye-bye.